You know, as I was worshiping, I was thinking about this chapter. And of course, we all know that God spoke with, gave this vision to John. And wow, what an awesome vision, huh? This is one of them visions that if you're not careful and you're driving down the road, that you'd probably go off the road. Right? It's powerful. But, you know, as I was worshiping, I was thinking about John and really what the Lord had showed him previously in chapter 14 there of John. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." And so John wrote this in his, in John chapter 15 here, or 14, and yet, you know, he understood it, and he says that, you know, I'm sure he would say, "Hey, I even believed God for it," but he didn't understand what he believed God for, almost. You know, it's really, he gets here to chapter 21, and wow, just an amazing thing, you know, as God would reveal New Jerusalem. Yeah, would reveal New Jerusalem. And how, I don't think we can read through here and actually fathom this. I just think it's too big for our little brains, isn't it? I look at it and I go, I don't even know, you know, just reading through here, if I can even add much to it other than, you know, I'll tell you later. Right? When we see it for ourselves. And it's just an amazing thing. But, you know, I was going to read through the rest of the chapter, but I think what I'm going to do is just go verse by verse here, or section by section, you know, and go through it. It says in verse 9 here, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." So this angel, he was involved in the plagues there, the last plagues that were released through the bowl judgments. And which one, who knows? All we know is it was one of them, right? And he comes to him with probably a more delightful message for this angel, that he would be able to share with somebody something that's really filled with hope. And something that the bride of Christ, the church, is looking forward to. It said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And so we see this Lamb's wife, the great city there. And of course, this is the gathering of all the saints, right? This is the gathering of all the saints. This is, of course, it's a beautiful city, but God looks at the city and says, "So what?" Right? I mean, he looks at all the beauty of the city and he says, "So what?" Right? I think he says, "So what?" Because he's got the bride there. He's got the saints are there now, you know, and though the city from a cosmetic or, beauty standpoint, looks pretty awesome. And us, as we read through this, we're like in awe of it, but God, remember, God sent his only begotten son into the world that he might die for us, right? That's God's, back in chapter 14 there, God would say, "Hey, I'm going to go. You know, Jesus would say, I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And who's he talking about? He's talking about the saints. He's talking about those that are saved, you know. And I really think, you know, even though we look at this city and go, wow, how awesome is this, God saying, wow, my bride's here, you know. It's kind of a different perspective, I think, of what we think about. But he says there, and he carried, John said that the angel carried him away in the spirit. And of course, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, this is symbolic and all this stuff. You know, this city, this New Jerusalem, and it's really not, you know. I mean, some people say, well, you know, those that were carried from Egypt out, God carried them across it. Oh, it's all symbolic and, you know, and so forth, you know. Well, you know, a lot of people make the Bible pretty worthless, don't they? But I think God shows us what he has prepared for us. You know, he gives us a little taste. I mean, how can you fit this in one chapter? How can you fit the whole design in one chapter? But he gives us a little flavor here, and he allows us to have just a snippet, little look at it. This is a real city. This is a real city. But here he sits up on this great high mountain, and of course we'll see the dimensions of the city that he's looking upon, and it's pretty spectacular. And so when we think of the great mountain or wherever he's taken him to there that is overlooking this, it must have been something marvelous. But it was a holy city. It was a great city. What made it great? I think what made it great was that there was no sin. Freed from sin, right? I mean, you can't be great with sin. You can be a great sinner, but you can't be a great holy city. They just don't make sense. But it descended of God from heaven, out of heaven from God. And it says, having the glory of God, her light was like the most precious stones, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the light here that shines, it says, is like a precious stone, and it uses this jasper stone. Again, Paul, John has a hard time describing what this appears like. And he says, like a jasper stone, you know. He's talking about its clarity. He's saying here its purity, you know, pure as crystal, or clear as crystal, something that you could, in a sense, you know, it's just holiness, right? Just holiness. And so we get this look of purity in the glory of God, right? And her light was like that precious stone. And she had a great high wall. And this was not, you know, usually when you think of a high wall that surrounded a city, you think of it as a wall of protection. It was to keep the enemy out. But this wall was not for protection from, that's over. There is no more enemy. He's been dashed. He's been thrown into the pit of hell forever and ever. And so this great high wall here really speaks of the, really of only holiness that is there. It's so high. It's so high, right? It's enclosed. And we see these 12 gates here. And of course, it says that the tribes of Israel are written on them, which is kind of interesting, is that man's name is written on them. You know, those tribes that are defined by the sons of Isaac, right? That they're there, right? And so they're just men of sin. But they're still, they got their names on these gates. It's almost like Israel, that God gave them access even to the city. You know, so some of the church thinks that Israel's history and they're, you know, there's, you know, and they forego that God gave up on them. But man, we even see here that he even named some of the gates, he even scribed some of the gates with the names of these men, these sinners. And then we see where it says that the three gates were oriented in the east, west, north, and south direction. And we see three gates on each of the directions. I don't know the significance of all that exactly, but I think back of Numbers chapter 2. Where they had the orientation of the tribes around the tabernacle. And it actually was, if you look at those numbers of people and so forth, it, you know, from an aerial standpoint, if you stood up on a high mountain, you would actually see the cross. It was a picture of the cross. If you lay that out, right? We're not given how many numbers there are, but we know that there is a remnant here that comes, and probably those that come from the north are, maybe you could go back to Numbers and maybe they would be the tribes that were in the north, and there's still those that were, had access to the, to this wonderful city that the Lord has put together, has made, has descended. And then it says that there's 12 foundations. 12 foundations, and on them are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 apostles meaning, you know, those like Peter and James and even John here, you know, they would be written on them. It's not what we would, you know, think of today is, in some people claim that they're apostles today. No, their names aren't written on these gates. That's foolishness. But they're apostles. And I was thinking too, you know, it's foundational to our faith. Just as it's foundational to this city that the apostles would be there. It's kind of a picture of our faith. You know, it's, you know, right now we stand upon, you know, what does it say in Acts? And we're steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It's foundational to what we believe, what we do, you know. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. So there's some, you know, things here I think to make note of is that God doesn't change. You know, he is, even here we're founded, even this city is founded upon the doctrine of the apostles that he gave them. I mean, ultimately he gave them to them and instructions. They gave them to us. The early church, as we should, you know, continued in them. We should continue in them. That's why we should be in the Word. It says in verse 15, and he who talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls, The city is laid out as a square. You might want to underline that. Many people think that there's that when it talks about height and all this stuff, and they think of a pyramid. There's some folks out there that say it's a pyramid. I don't think that. I think it says as a square. This is more of a cube. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. So you get this picture here of this massive city, and we talked about this before. Then he measured its walls, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. It's kind of funny how he says, it's like the measure of a man. Oh yeah, I forgot, this angel is measuring this. But here's the dimensions of this city. And, you know, we talked about this the last time we gathered. And, you know, this is 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. You know, if you think about from Maine to Florida, you know, you could say that's about 1,500 miles from the East Coast here to out in Colorado, you know, just to give you a perspective. And then go that in the height, and you've got this massive city. Henry Morris did this calculation in one of his books where he said, you know, that if at this time he projects if the world contained 100 billion people and 20% of them, I don't know if this is a good number. 20% even seems a little high. Are saved out of that number. Or a quarter of them are saved, that each person would get about 75 acres of land just for themselves. Each person. So that's quite a bit of land, by the way. You know, even those in Texas would think that's a lot, I think. They might not think it's a lot. Maybe some of the ranchers, right? But that's quite a few folks, or quite a few acres. For each folks. And, you know, this is about the size of the moon. So, you know, just gives you a perspective there. Verse 18, the construction of its walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third was chalcedony. I don't know how you say these, but the fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophas. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th is amethyst. I did my best on those. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And of course, you know, we always think about the streets being paved with gold, and is kind of the asphalt of heaven, right? Of the city that God sends down from heaven. And how we put so much emphasis in a sense on our economy, on our financial worlds. We get a little upset when our stocks fall and all this stuff, and our money, the dollar decreases in value and so forth. And God puts a little value in that, right? puts very little value in that. We'll have it as our streets. But it's just hard to, in a sense, to fathom this. It seems very similar, this description here of the different layers of foundation here and what's different types of stones and so forth. It's very similar to Exodus chapter 28 in verses 15 through 21. It's not necessarily identical stones and so forth, but it's similar, where he takes the 12 tribes or defines the breastplate of the priests, and he gives them each tribe a stone there. It's almost like he's doing kind of a similar thing here, but the priest, we know who's in charge here, right? This priest is the high priest of them all, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there, right? This is his foundation. This is what he's built. And so it's just a cool thing. But here, like this transparent glass, it's like this clear glass, this clear glass. The streets is pure gold, like clear glass. It was hard for John to really describe it here. But if you think about it this way, when we arrive there, when God lowers this city, there is no distortion in holiness. Nobody's distorting righteousness anymore. This is pure as can be. And it's really hard for us to fathom because we have never known this. But this is the pure city, the holy Jerusalem descending from heaven, descending from God's throne. I think it's Steve Green that sang the song that he's been preparing for us for 2,000 years. And it's hard to fathom, but God's been preparing this since he created, it's like this place, since the fall of man, he's been preparing this for man. Isn't that amazing love? Amazing love that God would prepare something so wonderful, so pure, so holy, for a sinful man. We don't deserve a chip off this. Yet God prepares us something very glorious to experience his glory. Verse 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And, I was thinking about how, this whole temple, during the tribulation period, the Jews right now want a temple, right? That's pretty obvious. They want this temple, but they've never been told by God to build this temple, but they really want it. And then what happens when you do something that God doesn't tell you to do, the enemy takes it over. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation period, right? Is that he's going to take over, in a sense, the worship center that the Jews have built. But, now we get to hear, and there is no temple. Why isn't there any temple? Well, this is the temple in a sense. His presence is going to all, he's going to fill this city. If you can imagine God filling a place 15 by 1500, 1500 by 1500 by 1500 miles. It's just going to, wow. It's amazing. And so, in the Old Testament, you could almost look at this is why I think it's two, is that it's not a pyramid, because You know, you look at the Holy of Holies, what was that? It's like a rectangular place that they built, and they thought that would contain God. Remember Solomon, when he built the temple there, he said, this isn't to contain God. This can't contain God. Nothing can contain God, right? So, you know, God is much bigger than just a place. And then Jesus Christ, he went to the cross and he died for us. And he raised and he said, there comes one after me, right? The Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's going to live within us. And Corinthians tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are the temple right now. We are the temple, not this building or any other building. We are the temple. But here, he's not confined to even any one person or two persons or three persons or whatever. He's not confined to the body. He's in this whole place. He's everything in all purity and all righteousness. So it says there that the Lamb is its light. He's going to illuminate he's going to illuminate this city. You know, it's interesting. I was telling Karen on the way in just something that struck me the other day when we had our Thanksgiving meal. You know, it's at night, right? So we're sitting around, and I go out in the sanctuary and I look at them stained glass windows and I think, they don't look very pretty. Because it's night, and all I'm seeing is what's the light that's coming in from the outside. Well, what do you see? You don't see nothing. You don't see the light coming in from the outside because it's dark outside. But then you go out to your car to grab something. You look at the windows and you go, wow, look at them windows. Right? And I thought to myself, that's us. We're the church. And we have all this light, you know, we are the lights of the world, right? And so the world looks at us and they see something totally different. We see the darkness. They never see the darkness, or they never see the darkness really, because they're in it, right? But we are the light, you know, it just shines through, and it's, you know, hopefully it's something that draws people to the Lord. But anyways, here it says Christ is the light. There is no more darkness. There's no need for a sun, no earthly sun. Can you imagine? It's pretty wild, isn't it? It says, in the nations of those who were saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. It almost seems as if there's some rulers that have been in the history books, in a sense, that are even going to be there, right? The kings, those in royalty. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, it's the thing is, you know, this verse 27. He's not saying that there's even a chance of anybody coming in defiling or causing an abomination. This is it. Nobody can enter in, if that's the truth. You're right. I mean, if this is the pure city, then the only ones that are going to be in there, this is kind of a warning verse, I think, to those that read through the book of Revelation and they get here and they go, oh, I got to be in the books of the Lamb's Book of Life, or I can't get in, you know? And this is maybe hopefully a eye opener. But there's no threat here to this city. There's not going to be any threats to this city of all this evil and so forth. It is just a warning to those that would read this passage. So that's all I've got. I think we're at a good time here. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great and awesome love for us, Lord, that you would do such a thing, Lord, that you would prepare such a place, Lord, for your people, Lord, to live in harmony finally, to not have to deal with sin anymore, Lord. No temptation, Lord. No wickedness, no evil, Lord. This is going to be a glorious place, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that even though you shine in our hearts today, and here we are in this world, Lord, and sometimes it's hard to live in this world where there's so much darkness and evil, Lord. But in that day, it's going to be all you, Lord. So, but you know, we pray, Lord, that it would be all you even today in our lives, that we would trust you for all things, Lord, that we would live for you no matter how difficult it may be, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we can look at these scriptures, you know, and then in the times in which we live and say, well, we've got a better future, Lord. So may we cast all our cares upon you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus, Lord, in these days. Lord, let us not get sidetracked by all the media and political stuff, Lord, but keep our eyes on you, Lord. We're here, Father, to be a light in darkness. May we shine, Lord, and be light to this world, Lord. And may many come to know you because of the church, Lord, and because we're faithful, Lord. Help us to continue to be faithful, Lord, to you, and help us, Lord, to be faithful in our calling. And may you just receive all the glory, Father, that's due your name. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.